A man by the name of S.I. McMillan, in his book None of These Diseases, tells a story of a young woman who wanted to go to college, but her heart sank when she read the following question on the application: Are you a leader? Being both honest and conscientious, she wrote no and returned the application expecting the worst. To her surprise, she received this letter from the college. Dear applicant, a study of the application forms reveals that this year our college will have 1,452 new leaders. We are accepting you because we feel it is imperative that they have at least one follower. We all want to look good, don't we? Right? But when it comes to leadership, the truth is, Jesus Christ is the first and ultimate leader over all creation. And since everything in life begins and ends with Him, before we could ever consider being a leader in any setting in life, our first role is to be a follower of Christ. Would you agree? And the truth is, Jesus came to the earth and called all mankind to follow Him. In fact, this last week we looked at how it actually includes making Christ the foundation of our life and building our life upon Him. That's following Christ, is it not? We also looked at three ways in which we build our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ. We trust Him with every area of our life. We seek Him for wisdom in what He wants us to do and how to do it. And then we follow Him by obeying what He has shown us. So those are three principles on building our life on the foundation of Jesus Christ, which really make Him the leader of our life. Well, if we're going to take and build our life on Christ in this manner, would it not be safe to say this will require making Him the primary or the supreme leader of our life? And if we're going to follow Him, how many think, as with any leader, this will require receiving communication from Him in matters like what He wants us to do, how He needs those things to be done or how He wants us to do them, where He wants us to do them, and who He wants us to do them with? These are all things that we need to hear and receive from Him as our leader. It's through Christ's leadership that order actually begins to take shape in our life, which brings stability, safety, and security. However, without Christ's leadership, we will experience disorder in our lives, which we read about last week. We read it in James 3, 13 through 18. Let's look at that again. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, and demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. And so we understand that envy is related to how we look at others. Selfish ambition really focuses on ourselves. And that's not the kind of wisdom that God gives us. That's not the kind of leadership that He's going to extend to us, that we enter into those kinds of actions, if you will, or even attitudes. However, verse 17 says, "But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness." So that's the kind of leadership wisdom God will give us if we are willing to receive it, if we will seek Him for it. All right. So in order to receive wisdom from Christ, how many know that's going to require us receiving communication from Christ? Amen? This morning, what we're going to look at is our need to hear from Christ. We need our leader to communicate with us. How many realize that in any situation in life that you're in, if whether it's the workplace, whether it's a family, whether it's a church, if there's no communication that happens, there's very little clear direction about where we go or what we're doing or how to do it, is there? So it's clear that we're going to need to hear our leader speak to us, communicate with us. And so what we're going to look at this morning are the two sources of communication Christ has given us in order to follow him as our Lord. And then we're going to look at our responsibility in receiving communication from him. So one is his responsibility. Would you agree? He has to communicate with us. But then our responsibility is we have to be willing to receive that communication, which requires listening, which requires spending time with him, those kinds of things. And so how many know effective communication? Anybody ever had any communication classes that you've taken? Effective communication is two-way communication. If it's just one-way communication, then it's really not communication. It's just somebody blowing air, right? So there needs to be both a giver and a recipient. And then as one gives and the other receives, that will change at some point, and the other will receive and the other will give. There's two-way communication. So what we're going to do is we're going to begin looking at the communication that we receive from Christ and the sources of that communication. Anybody here today want to receive what Christ wants to communicate to you? Amen? We want to hear from God. I think that's pretty important in life. So let's look at our first source of communication. These are not rocket science, but they are clearly spelled out in the Word of God. And that is, in fact, our first source of communication, God's Word. Would you agree? Psalm 119, 105 says this, "Your Word," speaking of God's Word, "is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path." God's Word is what leads our lives. Would you agree? It becomes that which shows us where we need to go and the path that we need to follow. So we need to know what that word is so that we know the direction we're heading in. He is the leader of our life, but he leads us through his word. So the word of God. Hebrews 4:12 says this about God's word. "For the word of God is alive and active." How many are glad that God's word is not dead? Amen. God's word is alive and active. Something that is alive and active moves. It grows. It expands. It produces. It's doing something. It's just not lifeless. So the word of God, first and foremost, is living and active. It will accomplish something if we will receive it. And further description that Hebrews 4:12 gives, "Sharper than any double-edged sword, it penetrates even in dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart." How many think whatever can do that is pretty powerful? Amen. God's word is powerful. It penetrates even to the places in our lives that maybe we think are hidden and unexposed. See, God's word can reach in to places in your life that no one else can. And that's because God knows every detail of our life. Amen? And so God knows our rising and our lying down, our going out and our coming in. And then the Bible say that. There's no place we can go, or there's no place we can hide that God doesn't know where we are. And there's nothing in our heart that God is unaware of. And I will tell you this, God is so wise and so knowledgeable that he even sees and knows things that are in our hearts that we are blinded to. And that is when the Word of God by the Holy Spirit will come in and will divide that and open that area up sometimes and penetrate. And listen, His light is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. That light will shine into those dark places in our life, and it will reveal that which even to our own hearts and our own minds are hidden, so that God can show us something that needs to be healed, something that needs to be cleansed, something that needs to grow, whatever it may be. God's Word will go to those places. How many of you have ever experienced the penetrating Word of God touch an area of that like that in your life? Amen. So when that happens, guess what? That's that, whether you know it or not, that is God speaking to you. See, people have said, well, I've never heard God. Oh, I bet you have. If you've ever felt conviction, if you've ever felt the Word of God touch an area of your life where you're going, oh, yeah, okay, that's probably the Spirit of God. Amen? Yeah, sometimes he does show us things we don't want to see. Amen? But sometimes, if you ever, you know, that's the often, too often the way we look at God, though, isn't it? It's like, he's just showing me where I'm messing up again. But you know, there are times where, have you been gone through a time where you are just under it? You're fearful, you're doubtful, you're hurting, you've been wounded, and God wants to show you something that'll bring tears to your eyes. Because He shows you, I actually know about that, and I want you to know I care about that, and I want you to know that I love you, even though you're dealing with that. See, God wants to minister to us as much as He wants to correct us. And He does both because He's a good dad. How many know a good dad sometimes has to praise his children and bless them and affirm them, but sometimes they have to bring correction too. And the Word of God will do both of those things. Amen? But we need to know that this God's Word is real. Now, we know that by the Spirit, but how many know there's people out there that have said things like, well, the Bible, that's just a history book. That's just something that men have come up with, that they've just put down on paper and they've changed over the years and they've made it say whatever they want it to say, etc. Anybody ever heard those kinds of things? Well, let me show you what one of God's disciples, Jesus' disciples, wrote about His Word. 2 Peter 1:20-21. Above all, you must understand that no prophecy of Scripture came about by the prophet's own interpretation of things. Amen? So Scripture never originated with a person. And we're going to see that. Verse 21, for prophecy never had its origin in a human will. But prophets, though human, spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So God's Word, even His written Word, did not, I mean, it. How many know whatever God chooses to do in the earth, He chooses to do it through us? That's incredible. How a perfect, infallible, flawless God will actually use us to communicate His Word to the world. And He used men to do that. That's incredible. But nonetheless, God has chosen to do that. That what He does in this earth, He chooses to do, for the most part, through people. Can God sovereignly do whatever He wants to do? Yes. Has there been times where God has broken into creation and done things? Yes. We know the virgin birth. We know the situation with the Apostle Paul, where his Damascus Road experience, all those kinds of things. But nonetheless, God really wants people to be the vessels in which His Word comes into the world, doesn't it? Does He not? So, but He does that by carrying them along through the Holy Spirit. And we see in 2 Timothy 3:16, this is what God says about His written Word. It says this, all Scripture is God-breathed, or if you will, inspired of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It was breathed into the heart of a person by the Holy Spirit. Those that originally wrote it, but then we're going to talk about the Spirit in a little bit. But all Scripture is God-breathed, and listen, is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Now, we need to break that down, because there are four different aspects of what Peter wrote, or excuse me, Paul actually wrote 2 Timothy, but what he's talking about here. Scripture is God-breathed and used for teaching, all right? Teaching. How many have ever been taught anything? Okay? Well, teaching is simply this. God's Word teaches us His Word by showing us truth about who Christ is and what His will is in all matters of life. Okay? That's simply what teaching is. Showing us what God's will is and who Christ is related to all matters of life. So it's kind of informational, is it not? It's instructional. But how many know if we just get our heads filled with information but we don't ever do anything with it, it doesn't really help us much, does it? As a matter of fact, the Bible talks about that love or knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. Would you agree? And so we need to know more than teaching. So the next thing the Word of God does is it rebukes. Everybody like being rebuked? I don't like being rebuked either, okay? But let's be honest, we are in a fallen state as human beings, amen? And of course, unless we've been redeemed in Christ. But even then, I may know in our soul, our mind, emotion, and will, we are being constantly conformed into the image of Christ. So if there's things that need to be conformed in the image of Christ, there are going to have to be some things that are going to be pointed out that aren't in order. Okay? And so rebuking is simply God's Word pointing out where our thinking is incorrect concerning who Christ is and what His will is in all matters of life. And so what happens is that the Word of God acts like a mirror. Anybody ever looked in the mirror and saw something that you thought, that probably needs to be changed? A smudge on your face, your hair is kind of all flattened over here, you know, looking a little funny. Thank God for mirrors. Sometimes when I look in it, I wish I hadn't. But nonetheless, I'm glad it's there so that I can at least realize there's a problem here. Well, sometimes when we look into the Word of God, how many knows it shows us a few problems that are existing and makes it clear that that needs to change. Okay? So that's the rebuking component of the Word of God. Now, is God against us? No. So just because we receive something that needs to be changed doesn't mean that God's angry with us or that God's, you know, going to smite us. He's just saying, listen, this is an area that, listen, I love you enough, like that father, there needs to be some change here. And if you don't ever see it, you're never going to need to change it or want to change it, right? Which leads us to the next part of God's Word, that's correcting. This is where God's Word shows us where our thinking needs to be realigned with who Christ is and what His will is for all matters of life. Aren't you glad that God just doesn't go around and keeps pointing out your weaknesses and your flaws? And then just gets down on you about it. You know, how great would an experience be if you were a student in school and all your teacher ever did was just kept giving you red marks, red marks, red marks, red marks. But what do I do, teacher? I mean, if I made the mistake, but I don't necessarily know how to fix it or how to change it. Well, I'm sorry, you're just getting a red mark. You're going to have to deal with it. You get a low grade. But how can I learn to, I'm sorry, just deal with the red. I am glad that's not God. But God wants to correct us. So His Word shows us how we need to live and who he is. So it brings correction to our life. And then he takes it the final step. The word of God trains us in righteousness. Now, how many know that in Jesus Christ, we are already made righteous before God? We are in right standing with God through Jesus Christ. So it's in that righteousness, our spirit has made right with God, but our soul and our body still need some work. And so in our mind, emotion, and will, there needs to be training. Well, that training comes through the Word of God. And so the training in righteousness is where we learn to agree and obey God's Word in those areas where we have had incorrect thinking and where they need to be realigned with His thinking. So this is challenging because how many of us like to do new things that are uncomfortable, that we're unfamiliar with? Oh, come on. We don't have any adventurers in here? We don't, do we? We typically, it's like, you know, just let me stay in my little comfort zone here. Don't force me to do something outside of that. Unfortunately, that is required. Let's be honest, when you got a new job, wouldn't you just like to be able to sit there and do whatever you did and play on Facebook and do that and get paid all day? How many think your boss is going to have a different idea? And he's going to think you need a little training on the work that you've been hired to do versus just what you all feel comfortable with. Correct? Well, our Father in heaven has the same idea. He has an idea that there's things that you need to learn how to do. So through the Word of God, when we have exposed those things in our lives which are not in line with God's Word but need to be changed, there's going to be a process of agreeing with what God says, even though in our mind we're thinking, I'm not so sure about this. And many people will stop right there, won't they? Because if it doesn't agree with what they think, they're out of here. But that's not how it works with God. We've got to be willing to agree with what God's Word says, even though it might not make sense to our natural reasoning. And then we've got to go one step further. We've got to do what God's Word says. Because listen, if you don't do what God's Word says, you're never going to see the effect that God's Word will have by obeying it. And you're going to need to be able to experience and see that effect happen in order for your mind to be changed to come into alignment completely with what God's Word says. So there are going to be occasions when God asks us to do things that doesn't make sense to our natural mind. That's called training in righteousness. Okay? And this is what Jesus said to the Jews in 8:31 through 32. He said to the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, "If you hold to my teaching, you really are my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." See, another translation says abiding, but how many know if you're abiding in God's Word or you're holding to God's Word, that means you're doing it. You're just not thinking about it anymore. You're saying, okay, I've got to do what God has asked me to do. And then it says, then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. All right? Well, that's great, Pastor. Now I know how God's Word speaks to us. How do I hear God's Word so that I get it in my heart? Anybody ever ask that question? How do I hear God's Word? Well, figure it out for yourselves. No, I'm just kidding. for that, you didn't love that, don't you? All right, number one. How many know if I just go like this with the Bible and it stays closed, it's not going to do me a whole lot of good, right? So first and foremost, we need to read this book. Well, step one, we need to read it, okay? Now, this is important. This is, you know, however you do this, but I think you need to read segments at a time. There have been several years that I have read through the Bible in a year's time. Not everybody likes that. Everybody feels like, oh my goodness, I don't know how I could ever do that, and so on and so forth. But I'm going to tell you, in terms of understanding the different stories of the Bible, understanding the context of the Scripture in terms of the Old Testament and the New Testament, and how creation fits in with redemption, with Moses, and how that, with the fall of man, and how Abraham was the father of nations who God gave, and how through Isaac and Jacob, the patriarchs, or the nation of Israel was formed, and then how they went and they followed God, and they turned away from God, and they followed God, and they turned away from God, and then how they wanted a king, because they wanted to do their own thing. They wanted to be like the other nations. And so then there was seasons where God gave kings and Israel still turned away and then went back and turned away. I mean, I could go on and on, but that's the history. And then how they were exiled and then finally came back to Israel. And then the New Testament, how Jesus came on the scene. I mean, you can't learn those things unless you read the whole Bible, and then how they fit together. And so I want to encourage you, be a reader of God's Word, all right? Then secondly, we need to study God's Word. Now, study makes more sense when you have read. Because when you have the overall context, then when you go to study something, you realize how that fits in with the context of everything else. What happens is when people just study without knowing the whole context, is they get in error because they don't have the rest of the context of the Bible to balance it out, to bring proper order to what they're thinking, and they get off into error. Okay, so, but as you understand the context of the Bible, you need to study the Word of God. Now, why do we need to study the Word of God? Number one, we need to study particular areas of truths that God wants to deepen in our heart. If I want to know about finances, according to the Bible, then I need to study about finances to know how God wants me to operate financially. If I need to know about healing, then I need to study what God's Word says about healing. If I want to have a strong marriage, then I should study what God's Word says about being a good husband, about how a marriage should function. We need to study God's Word so that we understand the truths that are written in His Word. And listen, studying God's Word also builds faith. It builds faith that brings transformation into our life. See, again, the reason I need to study about healing is because the Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God, right? Well, faith is imparted when you study the Word of God about a particular area and you continue to press in and God begins to give you revelation and understanding of that particular truth to the point that it's not just head knowledge, it becomes heart knowledge. See, because the head is the place of reason, the heart is the place of faith. And you got to get that which is coming to your mind down in your heart so that you believe it, even though you can't see, taste, touch, smell, or hear it, but because that's what God's Word says, and you've studied it out, and you understand that even though everything around me says that's crazy, I know God says it isn't. So I've got to study His Word Amen? And then the next step is we need to meditate and even memorize God's word. Now, meditation, you'll love this example. Some of you have heard me share this before, but one of the best pictures of meditation is a cow chewing its cud. It can be kind of disgusting, but I'll tell you what, that cow gets every ounce of nutrients out of that grass because it's got about four stomachs and it chews it up and goes into one stomach and then it, you know, the cud is it regurgitates it, chews it more, goes into another stomach, regurgitates it, chews it more. I mean, when that cow gets done, there is every ounce of nutrients possibly pulled out of that grass. Well, that's what we need to do with the Word of God. We need to think on the Word of God. We need to meditate on the Word of God. After we've studied the Word of God, we need to go pray about it. We need to talk with God about it. We need to continue to mull it over in our mind. And as we mull it over and mull it over and mull it over, that's how it gets down into our heart from our head. So, and memorizing it does. You know, people have said that. It blows their minds. I mean, and I'm not even one of the best, but I mean, I have memorized God's word, and it's amazing to me by depositing that in my heart through memory. There'll be times I'm just talking with somebody or I'm going through something. It's amazing. The Holy Spirit will just, bam, bring that up to the surface. Bam, bring that up to the surface. And it will minister to me all over again. That's because I have meditated on God's word and I have memorized God's word, and you can do this. Amen? Okay, and then like I've already said, talk with God about his word. You know, do you know you can do that? Do you know you can talk with God about his word? That's the truth, folks. Listen, how many of you have ever read something, you're meditating on something, and it's just like you're struggling with it, you're still not quite sure, have you ever talked with God about that? Lord, you know, what is this saying? What are you trying to say? I can tell you years ago, I did this with the Lord in this whole area of healing. I said, Lord, this person says this, this person says this, this writing says this, this writing says this. I want to know. I want you to show me what is really, your word is really saying. And I'm going to tell you, it didn't happen instantly. But when God gave me that picture, and I've taught on this, but he gave me a three-point picture of how healing works by an example of fire and what produces fire. If I told you, just produce fire, nobody in this room could go and produce fire. But if you had fuel and the right concentration of oxygen and you had an ignition source, you can produce fire. But you got to bring all those things together to get it, do you not? Well, when the Lord showed me that healing is like fire, God is the only one that can produce it. However, if you will bring faith and God's power and your word by speaking it, that's the ignition source to get healing. Faith is like the oxygen. It has to be in the right concentration. And then you speak. And then the power of God is released. Guess what? Healing. When God showed me that, I realized healing wasn't just something that only happened in the days of the apostles. That every principle that God has required for healing to occur today is still there. You know what one is sometimes the most difficult? It's that faith one. Because God, guess what? The Bible already says that when you were born again, the very resurrection power of God that's on the inside of you is the same power that raised Christ from the dead. Whether you know it or not, every one of you has the power, the resurrection power of God. If you're a born-again believer, dwelling on the inside of you. And You, as a child of God, therefore, have been given authority to make declarations. That's what Mark 11 talks about. But it's that faith one. Well, guess how you get your faith built? So that when you speak it, God's power is released. Huh, interesting. The Word of God. So we have got to talk with God about it. When we get into those places where we get stuck, we've got to say, God, what do you want me to do here? How do you want me? I don't understand this. Would you show me this? Or you've got fears that the Lord's asking you to do something. You see it in His Word, and I don't know. Well, how many know the Bible says perfect love casts out all fear? But are you willing to talk with God about that? Are you willing to tell Him? Just be honest with Him. Because I'm going to tell you, this is what's going to happen. The Holy Spirit is going to speak something else. He's going to converse with you. I have had these conversations with God. You can be honest with God about these things. And as you do, He'll begin to show you through the Spirit of God and through the Word of God those areas where your thinking is incorrect, where it needs to be realigned to His Word. And if you will begin to take action according to what His Word says, you'll meditate on His Word, you'll study His Word, you'll do all these things, He will begin to shape and form the truth in your life. Amen? Okay? So talk with God about His Word. Here's another one. Talk with other people about God's Word. You know, this is why it's important to not just be, I'm just going to say this, and I'm sorry if it offends people, but I'm just going to say it. This is why it's important not to just be a Sunday go-to-meeting Christian. You need to be connected with other followers of Christ in some kind of a small group setting. We all do. Because none of us can make it alone. God didn't design us that way. Amen? He wants us to work together. And then finally, we must obey God's Word. We must obey God's Word. We must do what it says. And as we do, it gets imparted into our life. Well, I have a second source of communication, but we're going to save that for next week. Amen? But this is what I want to challenge you with this morning. We know what we need to do. We need to be in God's Word, amen? But how do you do it? That's the $6 million question, right? Now, for some of us that have been doing this for a while, it's not as big a thing, but sometimes it is. How do we get God's Word into our heart? This is where I've been teaching on order, health, and growth, right? What we're focusing on is Jesus as our primary leader. He's our leader, but we also know that the other part of order is setting limits, correct? We've talked about that. You've got to have limits for order to be in place. I used the illustration before of a pipe. If you don't have limits, no structure, then gas or water or whatever can flow in whatever direction. So you need something to bring order to the flow of that water in order to specifically direct it somewhere. How many of you want the flow of God's Spirit and God's Word to come directly to you? It just not be willy-nilly. That's going to require this whole concept of limits. All right, now, I've already said in previous messages, limits have to do with laws, structure, systems, and goals. Now, let's make this more specific. Laws in this context of God's Word is going to be related to the personal policy. that you make with yourself and God. Okay? You ever thought about that? It's really a decision. The decision that you make about spending time with God. You have to make this decision. You have to make this determination. Folks, it will not happen by accident. It will not. If you wait for when you've got time during the day or during the week or whatever, guess what? You're never going to find time. You are going to have to make a decision that you are going to bring order to this area of your life. That's where it starts. Secondly, you need to establish structure. Structure really is going to be related to the time and place that you spend time seeking God in His Word. What time of the day will you do it? Where will you do it? You've got to make that determination. Now, Jesus, it says many times, He went early in the morning. Personally, that works the best for me because I've had a night's rest. My mind isn't filled from the current day's stuff, which Lord knows it can get that way. And by the time nighttime comes around, I'm already whipped and my brain is half fried. So I want to give God the first fruits of my day. However, listen, I know that there are people who are already getting up at 3 in the morning to get to their job at 5 in the morning. And so that, you know, to get up at 2 o'clock in the morning might be pretty tough. Depends on how early you go to bed. If you are a person that does that, that still could happen that way. But if not, maybe it's in the afternoon. Maybe nighttime. I know people that say nighttime is when I'm raring to go. But you've got to determine that. You've got to structure that. You have got to set aside a time and a place where you will meet with God. Okay? Secondly, or thirdly, actually, then you need to develop a system. You may have a few times and places depending on if you're reading or if you're studying. Amen? Devotional time, usually I like to do that in reading. Because the Holy Spirit, the context is there, but it's funny how the Spirit of God will, when you seek Him, He'll bring something out of His Word that's just, all I can tell you is it happens. It's like the Spirit of God just gives you something you need because you're spending time in His Word with Him. I can only tell you that. You're going to have to experience that for yourself, okay? But you need to develop a reading plan. You need to develop a study plan, and you need to develop a memorization and meditation plan. Now, that can work a little easy. For me, with meditation, when I'm out, personally, my job, I can do that. I'm out reading meters. So, it's amazing. I can meditate with my particular job. Some people else, they have to be really engaged, so that may not work for them. But you've got to develop not only a time and a place, but what you will do. Reading, studying, meditating. Amen? And then even on a corporate level, a life group with other people. These are determinations you have to make, but these are the ways that you can grow in God's Word. Okay, and then finally, goals. You know, in 3 months, in 6 months, I would like to understand this about God in a way that I don't understand now. You can't make this happen. The only thing that you can make happen is the time and the place and the work put into it. It's the Spirit of God that gets the Word of God in your heart. But nonetheless, if you are willing to consistently, you know, okay, let me put it this way. A farmer puts corn in the ground, right? Do you think, and I don't know what the germination and process of corn is, but let's say it's 3 months. If you know that from the point that you put corn in the ground, if it goes over a period of time, you're watering it, you're fertilizing it, you're doing everything that you need to do, that you know that there's a certain amount of growth stage that that corn is going to produce fruit or other corn, a harvest, right? Okay? So that's what you want to do. As long as you know, hey, I'm putting God's word in my heart, I'm watering that word consistently on a daily basis, therefore, I can trust that at a certain point, God said that his word will not return void, that he will make it grow. It will produce something in my life. So after I spend on this particular area of God's word, let's say 6 months, I want to see that my faith has expanded and grown, and I really believe that word, and I'm applying that word in my life I've never done in a way I've never done before. Amen? So we need to do that. So we need to set these all in place. Now, only you can determine those things. No one else can determine them for you. So it's about at this point, and I've had these conversations with believers before, I get the yeah buts. Right? Yeah, but Pastor, I have so much to do. I have a family and a job and household responsibilities. Yeah, but Pastor, this is so hard. I don't know where to start. I've never done this before. This isn't easy for me. Yeah, but Pastor, I've tried this and it just doesn't work. I get distracted. I get discouraged. I really don't feel like much is happening. Anybody ever given the yeah buts? Okay? Now, listen. I'm not here to be down on you. But if you give in to the yeah buts, your life in this area with God is going to remain out of order. And God is saying he wants us to get our lives in order. So we are going to have to make a decision. This is what I want you to do this week. I'm going to ask you to do this week. If you don't have a time and a place that you meet with God, and you have not determined what you're going to do in order to hear from him, I want to ask you to set aside a time this week where you will sit down and you will say, I have made this decision. This is the time and the place I'm going to do it. This is what I'm going to do. Basically, I'm asking you to develop a plan. And these are what my goals are. If it's reading, I'm going to learn more about the Bible in the next 6 months than I've ever learned in my entire life. I'm going to learn the stories. I'm going to start learning the context. That is a goal. By such and such a date, write it down. Okay? And then develop a plan to get there. Does this make sense? This is what you need to do if you don't have a time with God. All right? And then what I want you to do this morning with me is I want you, this is a Pharisee-free zone. What do I mean by that? That means that there's nobody looking over their glasses with a judgmental attitude here. That we're looking at you like, oh my Lord, they're just a basket case, you know. I mean, this is a Pharisee-free zone here this morning, okay? But what I want to ask you to do is I want to ask you to, with actions, not just with something in your head that says, yep, I'm going to do that this week. If you are in this place where you know God is saying, this is an area where you need to get your life in order with him, then I want you to do something about it this morning. I want you to get up out of your seat, and I want you to come up here, and I want you to make that declaration to him. See, it's easy to just say it, but it's not until we draw a line in the sand and we do something with our actions. See, the Bible says faith without works is dead. If you can say it, but you aren't willing to do anything about it, that isn't going to matter. So how many know that Jesus required people to confess with their mouth Jesus is Lord? That's an action. He didn't just say, believe in your heart and you're good to go. He said that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So I'm going to ask you to do that. If you, in this morning, are making a decision in your heart that you are going to set aside this time and make it your time and God's time, then I want you to get up out of your seat, come up here, and just make that declaration to him. I'm not to me, not to anybody here. You make it to him. Now, if you got questions or you want prayer or you want support of some kind, then you can come to us. We'll put an arm around you. I know this isn't easy if you've never done this before. We'll support you. We'll encourage you. But you got to make the decision for yourself. Amen? If that's you this morning, I'm pulling my pulpit out of the way. Get up here and make that declaration before the Lord, would you please? Anybody? Now, I want to say this. Do not fear man. I don't know if anybody's feeling held back or not, but the Bible, this is my definition of the fear of the Lord. It's being more concerned about what God thinks than what people think. And the Bible says, don't fear the one that can kill the body. Fear the one who can throw both body and soul in hell. Right? So you need to be more concerned about what God thinks, not what people think. And quite frankly, it doesn't matter what people think, because like I said, this is a Pharisee-free zone. We're not here to judge you. We're not here to look our nose on you. You know what? I'm here to celebrate with you. Because this is the first day, this is the first place where you say, you know what? I'm going to start hearing from God. You know what? I want to rejoice with you about that. I don't care about what's been behind. You can't do nothing about that. Let's focus on what we can do now. Amen? Is there anybody that's willing to get up here and say, I'm going to make this stand with the Lord and to spend that time with him? Because I believe that's what God's asking of us. Amen? This will change your life. It will change your life. I promise you. Now I want to tell you this before we close. This structure and system that you set up is not the end. It's the means. See, many people have this religious view. Well, I got to do my devotions. If I do my devotions, I'm right with God. If I do my devotions, they get into a religious thing. No. Then that's the wrong idea. It's because you're spending this time with God, it becomes the means, the environment, the avenue by which God's Spirit, you give the Holy Spirit the opportunity to speak to you. That's really what you're looking for. So I'm not asking you to become religious. I'm just asking you to carve out some time where you say, Jesus, it's about you and me. It's our relationship. Amen? Father, thank you today that you want to meet with us. That Jesus, you want us to hear your word. That you want to speak to us. I thank you so much, Father, that you want us to be in order so that you have a chance for us to hear what you have to say. Lord, we hear so much of what the world has to say, what the TV has to say, what those around us have to say. But Lord, this is our opportunity to hear what you have to say. So I pray this morning that you will work in our hearts and in our lives, that God, that we will hear from you, that word will show us where we need to change, that we will apply it and we will grow, and that, Lord, that you will show us that as we walk in obedience, your word promises us that we will be blessed in what we do. Thank you, Lord, for each of these here this morning that are making that decision and taking that step. God, strengthen them. When the enemy wants to come in and say, well, you missed that day, Lord, help them to not err in two ways, not give in to guilt and shame, but at the same time, not make an excuse to say, well, it's just not going to work. I might as well give up. I pray, God, that you will impart to them the ability that if they fall down, that they'll get back up. Because, Lord, you can still the next day speak to us. And we don't want to miss that opportunity. So, God, speak to us. Show us how to set this plan in place. And then, Father, we ask that you would bring order, health, and growth into our lives because we're seeking you. We give you thanks and we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessings to you. Amen. Didn't get there quite quick enough.